You're listening to 101.5 FM on UMFM. I'm your host, Ryan Funk, here with you for U-Talk, a show where we connect with amazing Canadians to hear their stories, backgrounds, and culture. Since mid-August, U-Multicultural has been celebrating diversity by connecting with communities for EthnoFest 2021. Today we'll be celebrating with them, listening to the amazing stories from people right here in Manitoba. Let's get into it. Born in Ukraine to a teacher and artist, Yevgenia Tatarenko was instilled with a love for history and culture. Moving to a small Manitoban city 5 years ago, Yevgenia dreamed of creating a Ukrainian club and school here in Canada.
Hello everyone! I'm Yevgenia Tatarenko, and I'm Ukrainian who arrived to Canada, to Manitoba, for just over 5 years ago. And I live in small Manitoban city, more than even being in Ukraine. So I was raised in a family of Ukrainian teacher, my mom, and an artist, my dad. Through all my life, I was just so passionate about Ukrainian culture, everything Ukrainian, and delivering this, projecting, as I say, to everyone else around me. So that was my kind of passion, how to show people how beautiful Ukraine is and how Ukrainian culture is fantastic. I wrote a lot of books and with the dream that I will launch my Ukrainian club here and I will launch my own Ukrainian school in Canada. So in 2017, we opened, me and other teachers from this Ukrainian school, we opened the doors for Ukrainian kids who arrived to Canada recently, like a few years ago or just a few months ago, as well as adults. Adults that were dreaming about learning Ukrainian language for years, but they couldn't find opportunities to learn Ukrainian language in Morden. The start of work of my school was really very, very quick, right, and very bright, because what we were doing and how we were teaching the kids, so we were teaching them feeling with our hearts and souls what we should give to them. So we started to teach them through entertaining. So if I talk about, for example, Ukrainian embroidered shirts, so I bring real shirts, something that is very authentic, like 80 or 100 or 110, 20 years old. So those pieces, those treasures, those artifacts that are real, so they show the real culture. When I just arrived to Canada, like 1 week or a few days after arriving to Canada, to Morden, we had the newcomer meeting. So I told them, like other newcomers and people who lived in Morden, that, you know, I'm a fire dancer, I'm a fire spinner, so that is something cool what I do, and here is my husband, here is what we can do together. So, and I told people that I'm actually planning to launch my fire school, and I'm actually planning to perform with fire around the region. And 1 month after arriving to Canada, we had a chance to perform for Canada Day celebration. So after this, again, I launched my Ukrainian club through, it's called Borsh Ukrainian Cultural Club. And why I did this, because again, I have so many ideas and I know I can, right? I cannot just dream, but I can bring them to life. I can make them true. So that's why through this cultural club, what I do, I organize different workshops, different celebrations, different holidays, and so on for Ukrainian community. But what I started to do differently, that I started to invite Canadians. So all my events, they are bilingual. So I speak in Ukrainian and in English. So that's how I open doors to my culture, to Ukrainian culture, to everyone who wants to discover something else. If we talk about crafts and arts, it's another one moment, like very, that comes from my heart, because as I mentioned, my dad, he was an artist. And this is what I have inside of me, in my blood. So I really love to do different crafts or arts. And because my mom is a teacher, so I love to share this with the world. And one of the arts that I do in Canada, so I do Petrikivka painting, folk art. So this is very unique art that was born in the central Ukraine. So those are just the examples of some bright pictures with Petrikivka painting. So, and really cool thing about here, yeah, that you can create like different art just using your thumbs or pinkies, like on this picture or even on this picture. And also, again, except of your fingers, right? So you can use brushes like the squirrel brushes. And another one, secret, very huge secret or very huge specific of this art, that you need to have the specific brush made out of cat hair. So without that brush, cat brush, you can't create the original patterns or original designs of Petrikivka painting. So this is something very unique about that art. And I do love to, not just to make this art, to create this art and to kind of showcase how I see the world through that art, but I also love to teach kids and families how to do this. When I go back to Ukraine, or when I go back to first days and first months in Canada, if I recall me those days, and when I imagine that someone could tell me that, girl, within 5 years, you will achieve this much and then you will make it to the wall of the exhibit. Yeah, I would say like, oh no, it's not possible. It's something crazy. No, it's impossible that within 5 years, being in a new country, being an immigrant, speaking with the accent, you can achieve so much. In Canada, I have an opportunity, yeah, to make a difference. Not just leave and use opportunities here in Canada, but I can make a difference. I can teach my students all over Manitoba how to make a difference, how to dream big, and how to achieve big. This is something that comes from my heart, and I hope that everyone or the majority of newcomers and immigrants to Canada can live the same way and can make a difference.
Here's a performance from talented Oana Lu for Ethnofest 2021 with Daliar Diados. She'll also share a bit about herself and Julian Vidal and how they moved from Argentina to Canada in 2016.
Song is Bailar de a Dos, which means dance in couples. And it's about building life with each other. I think lately, in our world, individualism has been kind of like overrated, and especially now after in a world post pandemic, we've realized even more that we depend on each other, that we need each other, and I think happiness lies right there in sharing life, building life with one another. So this song is about that. Bailar de a Dos.
Van paseando a las personas, todos ojos hacia abajo, que mirarnos ya incomoda. Se ignora al que está al lado y se habla al que no está. Sobran tantas conexiones que olvidamos conectar. Poco a poco en cada área de la vida cotidiana se hace menos necesario encontrarnos cara a cara. El avance tecnológico es sin duda fascinante, pero hay algunas cosas que se hacían mejor antes. Que se vuelva a bailar de a dos, que se vuelva a bailar de a dos, que encontremos la dicha que guarda perderse así por amor. que se vuelva a bailar de a dos, que se vuelva a bailar de a dos. A este ritmo que suena, no importa que venga, lo quiero con vos. A este ritmo que suena, no importa que venga, lo quiero con vos. Narará. Defendemos con los dientes nuestro espacio individual. Le rendimos culto al tiempo y es sagrada nuestra paz. Pareciera que en el mundo gana el autosuficiente, pero soledad no miente y quien va solo así se siente. Aprendí que no es pecado el mostrarme vulnerable, que vivir solo la vida no es destino para nadie. Corre al tiempo y adaptarse es importante, pero hay algunas cosas que se hacían mejor antes. Que se vuelva a bailar de a dos, que se vuelva a bailar de a dos, que encontremos la dicha que guarda perderse así por amor. Que se vuelva a bailar de a dos, que se vuelva a bailar de a dos. A este ritmo que suena, no importa que venga, lo quiero con vos. A este ritmo que suena, no importa que venga, lo quiero con vos. ¿Cuántas horas malgastadas? Mil razones no son nada. El orgullo es como el viento. No deja tango ni cuento que le haga honor a este sufrir. Que se vuelva a bailar de a dos, que se vuelva a bailar de a dos. Que encontremos la dicha que guarda perderse así por amor. Que se vuelva a bailar de a dos, que se vuelva a bailar de a dos. A este ritmo que suena, no importa que venga, lo quiero con vos. A este ritmo que suena, no importa que venga, lo quiero con vos. A este ritmo que suena, no importa que venga, lo quiero con vos.
Hello, I am Ona Lu. I'm from Argentina. This is Julian Vidal. We moved to Winnipeg in 2016 and we are very happy to be here. Argentina is, as maybe you know, maybe you don't, is at the very end, the opposite end of the planet in the south, and it's quite different from here, the weather and culture. I'm a singer-songwriter. I studied classical music and then focused on popular music, like writing songs, which is what I love most. And I try and bring all the influences from my upbringing into my music. I focus on making a fusion of Latin American folk rhythms. And I've been working with Julian Vidal for a long time now.
I studied sound engineering and film scoring, so we complement each other pretty well in that aspect.
We shoot video together, we produce the music together, we compose together, and we play together a lot. When did you start your journey in music?
I started playing when I was a kid. They gave me a little tiny little Casio organ. And I started playing with that. Then when I was a teenager, I jumped into drums and guitar. And then after that, I started learning composition, ear training. And then I got seriously into music. I actually started studying computer science for a little bit. And then I left that like a couple months after I started. And then I just went on full on with music. Moved to the US and went to college there.
So we both went to Berklee College of Music. A wonderful place to develop our skills. My home was quite musical. My mom is a tremendous singer. My dad is a lawyer, but he also plays guitar. He loves Argentinian folk music. So I kind of absorbed music and saw it as something I could make, I guess, since I was a kid. But however, it was only until I was 20 years old that I decided that I realized I could do this professionally.
And one of the things that we really, really like about Winnipeg is that everybody here, well, not everybody, but a lot of people are very close to music. A lot of kids study music. Everyone you go and talk to says, oh, yeah, I played piano when I was a kid, or I still play, but not professionally. But, you know, people are very in touch with music, and there's excellent musicians of all genres. So that's really great.
Such a mixture of cultures here. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. This instrument belongs to the world of folk music, bombo legüero. It's a typical instrument from Argentina and also from Bolivia, Chile, probably Uruguay too. It's used in all this area. It's a kind of drum.
This is goat's hide.
Yeah.
There's two heads, and they're very finicky. They react a lot to humidity and sun and the cold, so it's very tricky to play this in Winnipeg. People seem to really like foreign music. Every time we play at a show, we play in Spanish, and people just, they don't understand the lyrics mostly, but they really enjoy it, and they come and ask us about, you know, what does this mean? I really enjoyed it. So it's pretty rewarding, even though there's a little bit of a language barrier, the music boundary just is not even there.
We recorded a video here, which you can catch on YouTube, which shows the city of Winnipeg and people dancing on the streets, tango and stuff. And people from home ask us, well, where is that? I don't recognize which part of Buenos Aires is that. And no, that's Winnipeg. And people here ask us, oh, is that Buenos Aires? No, that's Winnipeg. That's right here. So that's kind of funny about it. It doesn't cease to amaze me, the mixture of cultures we have here in Winnipeg, and things like this that showcase that and show the value of that, I love being a part of. So I'm happy.
Vegetarian palau is a rice and vegetable dish and is a favorite of Priyanka and her family.
Hello, everybody. My name is Priyanka, and today I'll be cooking our family's favorite, and that's a vegetarian palau. So that's a rice dish with vegetables. I'm just going to start cooking as I talk about the dish that I'm going to make. It's our family favorite, and the reason for that is the kids really like this dish. This dish goes really well along with yogurt, lentils, chicken dishes, or anything else, or just as it is, just with yogurt or by itself. Here I am just going to use some oil so that we can cook our spices in it. The spices that I have been using, so first you're going to add jeera to the oil. That's basically, all these spices basically give fragrance but also have nutrition value to it as well. I'm going to add some black cloves, just a few of them, say about four. I'm also going to add, so what I've done is I generally like to grind my black cardamom before I add to the oil. Also, I add some cinnamon sticks, which I already have here. Again, these dishes have nutrition value and give aroma and taste to the dish as well. Another thing that we like to add are the bay leaves. These give amazing flavor. Once these start kind of, and you can smell the fragrance and everything else, I like to add some green cardamom. You can see that I have like whole green cardamom here, but I personally like to roast my green cardamom, make it into a powder, and then use it. So once these spices start cooking and you can smell the aroma of it, I'm just gonna check my stove. That's good. I have some spices sitting here that I haven't used, but because I'm gonna add them later, and I'm gonna add some onions. I personally like to use red onions just because the color and the fragrance that they give to the dish. Oh, my cinnamon stick went flying, so I'm gonna add another one. Done. So I don't thoroughly cook or wait for the onions to turn completely brown. I just kind of cook them, and I don't use all the onions that I cut. So once that's done, I add potatoes. It's just one potato. Okay, so we're just gonna saute our potatoes lightly. Once that's done, I'm gonna add some peas to it, just some green peas. Most of the time people use frozen peas, so what I like to do is either add frozen peas to it, saute it nicely, or I like to put them in some hot water. Just leave it so that, you know, they're fresh and they're soft, and then you can just add them back in here. Not too many. I always look at the size of the potato and the onion that I'm using and just add peas accordingly. We don't want too many of them floating on our rice. Once that's done, and that's my secret thing, that what I do, I just add a little bit more onion so that they're not as cooked as the onions that I added before. Okay, once this is happening, as you can see that I have black cardamom in here, but I like to crush it. I like to make it into a powder and then add it to my dish. I've used two black cardamoms here. Just some, these are not hot peppers, but again, they are peppers, but not as hot as green chilies would end up being. I like to add as many natural flavors as I can rather than adding red pepper and all that stuff to the cooking. So once that's done, another favorite of mine to add to the cooking is garam masala. Garam masala is actually a medley of a lot of these spices that are roasted and then ground together to create this beautiful blend. All of my masalas are made at home. I buy the spices, then I toast them, and then I add them to the dish. So here is just some garam masala. Just because it's made at home, it's very potent, so I don't add too much of it. I'm just gonna check and make sure that I haven't forgotten anything. And yes, I did. And the most important thing that makes all dishes come together, and that's salt. I personally just like to use pink Himalayan salt rather than white. So and just as is, you can add a lot of different things to it. There are a lot of different variations to this rice. You can add chicken to it, you can add lamb to it, and basically do whatever you like. It's rice. It's such a bland base that you get that you can add as many ingredients to make whatever you like from it. So it's two bowls of rice. And traditionally with basmati rice, what you do, if it's one bowl of rice, so the ratio is 1:2. So if it's one bowl of rice, it's two bowls of water, two bowls of rice, four bowls of water, just like that. I just kind of mix it very gently so that you don't break the rice. So if you like, you can add red pepper. I'm personally not a big fan, so I don't, but because everybody is eating today, so I think I'm just gonna add a smidge of red pepper. So just gently with a light spoon, mix everything in. Just gonna wait for this to cook. What I like to add is some saffron. It gives a beautiful color. It's really good. Has a lot of nutrition value to it as well. And gives a very nice fragrance to the dish as well. So if you'd like to crush it and then add it, you can crush it and then add it. If you'd just like to add the strands as it is, you can do that. Once I add the saffron, I don't like to mix my rice too much. I'm gonna add some red pepper to it, and that also just a smidge bit so that I don't make it too hot, because I already added some green pepper to this thing. And that's it. That's all this dish entails. I'm just going to cover it and wait for this to cook. How I like to cook it is, everyone does it differently. I like to wait for one boil to come, and once that happens, I kind of put it in on a low-medium heat. Halfway through, when we have seen most of the water has evaporated, that's when I turn off the stove, because rice and all the vegetables together create so much steam that it's going to cook on its own. And yes, and the dish is ready for you.
Nursultan Umarov is from Kazakhstan. Although a newcomer, he already sees similarities between Canada and his home country.
Hello, my name is Nursultan Umirov. I'm from Kazakhstan and I'm a Kazakh. I can be considered as a newcomer here in Canada because I came to Canada about 1 month ago. But I already noticed some similarities between the Canada and my country, Kazakhstan. Canada is the second largest country in the world, and Kazakhstan is the ninth. We have like a really identical climate. We can have a dry summers and we can have a severe cold winters. Temperature can reach minus 35, minus 45 degrees Celsius. Also, the both countries are really multinational. We have like in Kazakhstan around 120, 130 different nations. Kazakh people can skillfully raise livestock. And not only the national food is related to like livestock, also the national games related to it. For example, our national Kazakh game, which is called Asak, it appeared on the territory of Kazakhstan in the first millennium AD. And in 2017, it was inscribed on the UNESCO representative list. Asak is a talus bone of the ship, and it has four sides: Alsha, Taike, Buk, and Shik. The sides of Asak are ranked by seniority in the same sequence. To play the game, first of all, you need to draw a circle on the ground around 1 meter in diameter. And then you have to place all the assets into the center of the circle in one line. So the number of players that can participate in the game, it is unlimited, but it should be at least two. Then you have to move 2 or 3 meters away from the circle. Also, you have to leave one assak in your hand. This assak is called saka because this is the most heaviest one. Goal of the game is to throw the assak to the center of the circle and to knock as many as possible assaks out of the circle. During the warm season, if you will go near to school, you can notice that small children play in this game during the breaks between classes. We play this game from the first millennium AD, and we still continue playing it. This is our heritage.
The International Reggae Afro Latin Music and Arts Festival was created to be a catalyst to express the underrepresented talents on a professional platform. The entire event is an opportunity for people to unite. Here is CEO and founder Neville Hamilton to share about this incredible festival and the importance of highlighting culture in music.
Hi, my name is Neville Hamilton. I'm the founder of IRL Music Arts Festival. And we're so happy to be here, you know, and just to express what we're about and what we have planned for the future. About 2 years ago, I went on a tour with a group called the Ja Vibes Band at the time, and I quickly noticed that there was an issue surrounding like our culture and our reggae music and the Afro-Latin community that needed addressing. So after going on this tour, we realized that the underrepresented weren't being, you know, brought to the forefront with their culture and what they represent. So I decided that I'll start the journey for this. So I started talking to a bunch of my friends out of a previous company we had called the Yard Vibes Promotion. Came the IRL idea, you know, and IRL is all about creating a platform for the underrepresented so that they can have a voice and they can be represented in a much higher level or on a much higher level. No matter their skills or abilities, we can also participate in helping them grow and secure a better future for them. So I started the journey by talking to a few of my friends, and we tried our first event, or tried to organize our first event 2 years ago, but unfortunately it came in right when the COVID hits, so we were unable to carry out our plans. But we're here today. We did our first launch September last year, the IRL virtual party, which was a success, and we realized that a lot of people were appreciating what we do, and that just gave us enough strength to continue in what we're doing. We are here to help the artists themselves. We're not just a festival that happens once a year that everybody comes and have a nice time and then go back to their quiet communities or their homes and nobody remember them for a next year. We're about, you know, developing the artists and developing that community that our future musicians, singers can be a part of to enhance their future or even to have a career. You know, if you're an artist or a musician, if you're from a community where there's a band involved, we are willing to listen to what you got and to find out how we can put you in, you know, in the rotation, so to speak, or how to get you out there. IRL, as I mentioned, is a part of another company that I started called Yard Vibes Promotion. Yard Vibes Promotion deals with the artists themselves, and we are also having partners across Canada that can also help to push these people, whether by management or support, you know, pulling them through with recordings, studio time, improving their talents by instructions, or having people who are in the business talk to them and encourage them and show them the way out. At this point where we are being noticed by the government, by Canadian Heritage, by Factor, Manitoba Music, Manitoba Arts, right? So it took us a long journey to get here. It's not just for Caribbean people or the African people, it's for Canada wide. So I don't care where you're from. If you have talent, try and reach out to us. You know, all I want is that we live as a community and express ourselves on whatever platforms or whatever is available to us. And of course, I'm looking forward to see, you know, different cultures join us. And also we'll create different things for different cultures as we go on.
Luana Cunha has lived in Canada for 7 years now and teaches Portuguese to children. Luana shares the history of Brazil and her passion for books.
Hi, my name is Luana. I am from Brazil. I have been living in Canada for almost 7 years. I've been teaching Portuguese to other children and adults who like to Brazilian culture and who are Brazilian, and some of them were born here in Canada, or some of them came to Canada when they were very little and they want to learn Portuguese. Brazilian culture has three roots. One of them is Portuguese. Brazil was colonized by Portugal in 15th century. And that's why we speak Portuguese. Many people over the world think we Brazilians speak Spanish, but actually we speak Portuguese. Also, we have an African root. When Portugal came into Brazil many years ago, they brought some slavers from Africa. And from then, we learned music and our food, some of our recipes, like the famous feijoada from Brazil, came from Africa. But of course, we have like many and lots of diversity in Brazil. Brazil is a huge country. And in many different states, we can find people who are more talent inspired by First Nations or African roots. And for me, I am passionate about books, and here in Canada, I have many books. I think it would be like hard to find another Brazilian who has more books in Portuguese than me here in Canada. I have some very old books, and I bet if you were 30 years old or older, you would recognize them. And some of them I got from my grandparents. This book belonged to my dad, and my grandma used to read when I was a child. This book, O Saci, is a very famous book and talks about black guy with one leg and who used it to make lots of plots. And that's the best part about books, because they tell us who we are. Everything important in the world is written. If you want to understand yourself, understand the books. One of my favorite authors is very famous over the world, named Machado de Assis. He was a realistic author. We can see ourselves in the book. Of course, we have to consider the time when he wrote the book, of course, but he used it to write and to describe the society as he could see it. I think it's very important to tell the world and tell our children and our future generations about these important authors we have in Brazil. How beautiful are our literature and how important they are to our children.
Music has always been a part of bilingual singer-songwriter Kelly Bado's life. She combines her African heritage, La Chanson Française, and African gospel to create a unique sound. Coming from West Africa, she never expected her style would come across as enjoyable here in Canada. We'll hear more from Kelly, but first, a musical piece by her titled Promise.
You know, I'll always, I'll always, I'll always. like I push you to fight. You know I just want us to be alright. Tell me what's on your mind. Baby, let's make some time. I made a promise, a promise, a promise, a promise to you. You know I'll always be there for you.
Hello, my name is Kelly Bado. I'm originally from Côte d'Ivoire, which is Ivory Coast. It's West Africa, and I came to Canada, I would say 12 years ago. And I came with my sisters, and I have a husband, I have a family here. And now I'm a singer-songwriter. I also work as an administrative assistant, but my dream is to be a singer-songwriter full-time. So I've been writing songs really when I came in Canada. That's where it started. And my first album is called Entre Deux, and it was really songs about my country and me coming here. So these two different cultures, how to manage, navigate through. So some of the songs I performed, like Je Retournerai, it's a song that's dear to my heart because I talk about my country and the fact that you never forget your origins, where you came from, because it's part of you. And among that, there was other songs. I also like languages. I love Spanish. I love Lingala. That's a language from Congo. I've had friends along the way from Spain. Morocco. I lived in Morocco for a few years, and there's this song called Habibi. This is from my new album. It's called Eter, and Habibi means my love. So some of these little words that I picked up in the different countries that I visited, and I combined all that to make my music, I guess. I just love how, you know, cultures have similarities, and to me, language is not really a barrier. It shows the diversity, and it's easy to get to know someone. Sometimes we say, I don't understand the language, or I don't know. It's about curiosity. So if you want to know about someone, even if they don't speak your language, you just have to learn. You just have to ask, and that's really what my music is about, and all the songs I write, they always have different languages. That's because I love the diversity of the world, and I hope to bring that to people so they also get to love everybody and every language.
Marco Castillo is a Brazilian-Canadian musician and songwriter based here in Winnipeg. Entranced by music since he was a child, Marco has a passion for creating, performing, and teaching. Marco goes into detail about some Brazilian percussion for Ethnofest 2021 and shares more about his life as a musician.
Hello, my name is Marco Castillo. I am a Brazilian songwriter, a musician, and producer. Today I'm going to be talking about the Brazilian percussion. I'm a guitar player, for instance, like my main instrument is the guitar. I like strings, I play bass and guitar, Brazilian guitar. But today we're going to talk a bit about the Brazilian percussion. The Brazilian percussion is very unique. It's a trademark of the Brazilian music. You can hear the Brazilian percussion in many different Brazilian styles of music. So we're going to talk about the tamborim, the pandeiro, the cuíca, and the repinique. So this is the tamborim. Grab the pandeiro. This is the pandeiro that looks like the tambourine, but that's the pandeiro. The pandeiro is one of the most complete percussion instruments because you have so many different things you can do. You have those little shakers here. We have the sound kind of mimicking the drum, like the kick. And you can also have a middle tone here. So we can do something like for a samba, for example. Continuing, I'm going to demonstrate the cuíca. The cuíca requires this little cloth here that I'm going to put some water on it because to make some friction noise. The cuíca has a very interesting sound and it's a typical instrument for the samba. In the samba schools, you can actually have like 5-10 cuícas being played together. The great players, they can even play melodies on this one here. So basically, the way you get a sound from this is by frictioning this wet cloth in the inside the stick that has inside. Like we used to call this a little monkey. Because of the sounds, it's kind of funny. So it's you need a little bit of a warm up to get like a real sound on it. But it like pretty much should go like this. Yeah, it's hard to get the sound. I'm just going to try to get some. Yeah. There we go. Here.
All right, this is the cuíca. And finally, we have the repique, which is a tone that we got a really high pitch on this one here. You can play with your hand. But usually we use a stick, so it's like. Is the one who carries and give all the guidance from the big scholar de samba. Also the blow, like they have this high pitch instrument that guides the samba school, but the repique is the one who do all the calls for the scholar de samba, and it's pretty much a lot of different calls. Hi, my name is Marco Castillo. I am a musician, producer, songwriter, and educator. I was born in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. I moved to Canada 15 years ago. I was a musician in Brazil. I was very lucky. I travel a lot in South America. I have different bands. I travel as a sideman. I own my home studio, which I produced several tracks mostly for radio. I always say that I didn't got into the music. The music got in my life at a very early age. As I was saying, my dad is a musician, so we always had music in the house, even through rehearsals, his guitar. He's an amazing composer and songwriter. And he was always bringing records to the home. So I listen a lot of different kinds of music, not only Brazilian music. I listen a lot of classic music, pop music as well. The music that I listened in the 70s and 80s, I believe, was the best music produced in terms of fusion. Like, that was the time where the rock and jazz were getting together, blended. And the music that was produced at that time was amazing. Having my father as a musician, so I started picking up the guitar around 10 years old. And playing by ear, and later on I graduated in music arts, my bachelor in Brazil. I really learned on the road. I think that's the best experience you can have and as a musician is performing. So I'm very lucky that way. I had a lot of opportunities to perform so far. I used to say that to make music, it's a lot of, it's a 10% inspiration and 90% transpiration. So you have to get your initial idea and work it out, lapidate until you get something that you feel comfortable to show to the people. Brazilian music is very complex. I present workshops about Brazilian music, and to understand the Brazilian music and culture, you have to go back to history, understand all the process of the colonialism, all the when the Portuguese and Spain got into America. So that was, it plays a huge role, and the Africans as well, like brought to America. And when you visit the Brazilian music, like especially the Chorinho music, you can see that most of the composers have black heritage, and they're amazing musicians. And the Chorinho music is the one of the music that we can consider very typical from Brazil. Brazil has an immense variety of different cultures. There's huge communities from Italy, from all Europe, German and Japanese and everything. So that mix along the years, you know, made the Brazilian music very unique.
Namaste, everyone. My name is Ankita Singh. I live in Winnipeg, Manitoba. I'm going to talk about today about Navratri. It's the Hindu occasion, comes in the fall every year. It's a Navratri is a Sanskrit word which means nine nights. It's basically a story of Ma Durga, a goddess in Hindu culture, fighting with Mahishasur, a demon, for nine nights. Navratri is, as I said, is a celebration of good over evil. It's the celebration when goddess Durga beheaded demon Mahishasur on the 10th day. So we celebrate it for nine nights. Most people who celebrate Navratri keep the fast for 9 days. In Navratri, everyone pray in the evening. And with the food, we don't put garlic or onion in the food. Who are fasting usually eat very specific kind of food. We celebrate it with small kids, a small girl kid actually, and we pray them. We give them gifts and give them food on Ashtami, which is 8th day of Navratri, and Navmi, which is the 9th day of Navratri. I remember when I was a small kid, I used to live in a colony where all the girls used to get ready in the morning, and we used to go to everyone's house, and we used to be so happy about this because everyone was treating us special. They used to pray us and give us gifts and food. So I celebrate Navratri. I also pray every evening for 9 days. And on Ashtami, I celebrate Ashtami where I call and ask for this young girls to come to my house. We call all young girls Kanjak. They are the form of goddess Durga. So we pray them and take their blessings.
Tune in every Tuesday at 1 p.m. on 101.5 FM to hear more amazing stories. For more of You Multicultural, visit their website at u-channel.ca for content on diversity and multiculturalism. I'm Ryan Funk. This was U Talk, and have yourself a good one.